that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 31st, 2015, live from the Radio Ranch in. It's still dark out here. Sun's not up over those mountains to the east of us yet. Oh, but it will be. But we do welcome you here this morning. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, our Lord and Savior, our King, our friend. Good morning, Jesus Christ. Because we know that His Word says, where two or more are gathered in His name, then He is there also. And we do gather in that name above names, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's to His glory that, well, we do our best to give Him glory for all that we do. Well, let's open up in prayer, and then we'll, where we go from there, who knows. Well, Heavenly Father, again, we do say good morning, and thank You for the opportunity to be here, for the opportunity to be here on the at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to have fellowship with You, to have fellowship with like-minded Christians, Lord, like-minded believers, and Lord, to have fellowship and to Lord, to be able to speak and to hopefully exhort and stimulate to love and good deeds the remnant that are tuning in, Lord. That's our desire. Lord, we thank You for the time that You give us, the time of fellowship, the time of reading Your Word, of sharing our thoughts with Your people. Lord, let it all glorify You. Let it all, Father, praise You. And we do praise You, Lord. We thank You for the blessings that You give us, Lord, for the health that You've poured out upon us, Lord, for the abundance of all that we have. Lord, for Your blessings. Most of all, for the redemption that You give us, Lord. The redemption that you have paid the price for when You redeemed us, when You went to that cross willingly. As the Word says, looking to the cross and for the joy that you knew would come out of it. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we look around and see the turmoil, the storms, the wickedness of Babylon, Lord, help us to remain faithful. Help us to continue to open the eyes of your people, to open their eyes to the truth of who and what is going on. That's our request, Lord. We ask you to be here with us today to guide and direct our thoughts and our words. And again, let this broadcast be edifying to your people. Let it encourage them, and let it put a smile on your face as well. And we pray this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, got a text from Texas the last day or two, and looks like what little bit I've seen on the just the computer news this morning, they got a little bit of rain in Texas, it looks like. I know we'd gotten some messages from the Bastrop area that the people there we spoke with anyway or texted with were okay, but record 200-year flooding. Looked like the Austin airport was flooded out, things like that. Didn't know if you guys had seen anything along those lines.
No, uh-uh.
Saw a quick...
I heard that they were getting, that they had some pretty good flooding going on, but that's about all I heard. I didn't really hear what the extent of it was or what the damage was.
Yeah, possible, I guess they've got two dead now, two others missing, Central and Southeast Texas.
So they thought around Austin, right?
Yeah. Said they thought they had tornadoes. Says more than 16 inches of rain in one neighborhood, and Austin Bergstrom International Airport suspended all flights. Says after a half foot of water flooded the air traffic control tower. And talking of, you know, they had last weekend storms from that that hurricane that came across Mexico. What was that? Hurricane Patricia, I think. I mean, they got a foot of rain last weekend, and then now, you know, they got that again yesterday. Says the Blanco River overflowed back in May, and it swelled up, it said, to what, 26 feet in Wimberley, which is twice the flood stage. And wind gusts 70 miles an hour threw some trailers around, and quite a storm, not just a little wind. You know, we're looking at windy today with 20 mile an hour winds out of the west, but they had basically tornadoes, almost hurricane type winds in Texas, and flooding a week after a hurricane rolled through, or the remnants of Hurricane Patricia rolled through. So quite a lot going on there.
Yeah, I think Houston got hammered with that.
I'm sorry?
Didn't Houston get hammered with that?
I know Austin, and I thought they did, yeah, last week when Hurricane Patricia came through. It came through and said it dumped nearly a foot of rain in the same area. You know, and when that happens, I spoke with a friend that's down in southern Arizona, and they were getting rain Wednesday and Thursday this past week. And he said, very odd. It's rare that they get rain this time of the year. And maybe it's that global, you know, maybe Al Gore was right. Maybe it's just global warming. And he was right, and we've been wrong all along. What do you think?
Earth things. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's birth pains. You know, I was looking at another thing that's interesting is, you know, this week the FDA confiscated several thousand chickens from KFC's farms as mutilations worsen. And, you know, it's one of those things. I talked about that. I remember talking about that with Dad years ago about how bad it had gotten, but that was 15 years ago. And I mean, we were talking back then about the chickens that KFC was raising, because some of them couldn't walk in these chicken farms. And if you look at how far they've changed and how much they've changed since, and it's just it's shocking in one aspect. I don't want to be double-minded about it, but it's like you see it, you know that's where we're headed, and you know that's where we're at as far as the birth pains are concerned. But at the other hand, it's like, it's just, you look at it and you just almost don't want to believe it. It's like you know, really, that's to the point. That's what people are eating nowadays, and they think they're eating a healthy meal. It's really sad in that aspect. But anyway, back to the story. It's, you know, KFC, they've been known for a long time for having chickens that, you know, they've mutated their chickens to a point where they produce the most amount of meat that they can possibly get off of a chicken. Feed them through a tube, and the chickens don't even get up and don't even walk around because they can't walk. They've been bred so much, and the genetics have been changed so much that is all they do is they feed them with a tube and they lay there and they grow. They want the most amount of meat that they can with the least amount of maintenance, and you know that's their bottom goal is the ultimate dollar. Well, if you look at how they've changed since then, they've actually got some that'll walk, but instead of having, you know, two chicken legs, they'll have four chicken legs or three chicken legs, and it's just it's just gone crazy. I mean, you look at some of these pictures. I'm going to get them posted up on the Newswire later on today. I just got this in late last night, but this has just happened. But it's like, I mean, you've got two-headed chickens, you've got two-body chickens that are connected together, and the thing is when they go to butcher it, this is getting to be normal. I mean, it used to be that they culled them. Now they don't even cull them when they see one like that. They just butcher it and send it on to the, you know, to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, where people think they're getting a good healthy meal. Kentucky Fried Chicken was one of the first companies to introduce and to start using MSG, monosodium glutamate, in their chicken. And if that was part of, you know, General Sanders' special seasoning that, you know, made people want to eat more chicken. You know, so they've been on, you know, doing things that way for quite some time now. So, you know, it shouldn't surprise us. But, you know, the sad thing is you look at this and it's like, you know, that's exactly what I thought when I look at these pictures and read this story. This morning before we came on here, it's like, you know, it's a birth pain. It's so sad. You know, so many people don't realize that you are what you eat, you know, and you put, you know, stuff in here that is, you know, is just mutated, and you don't think that that's going to have an effect upon your body. You're crazy. You know, granted, There's different ways you can look at it. You know, I think a person has got to try to stay away from things as much as they can. You're never going to. I mean, we're to the point in time where no matter what you, no matter how far you try to stay away from GMOs or the high fructose corn syrup or whatever it is you're striving to stay away from, the thing is you don't know what's in your food anymore. You know, this last week they came out with another study that, you know, started testing hot dogs, and they tested hot dogs all over the country, and they found that 14.5% of the hot dogs that they tested contained human DNA. They tested the vegetarian stuff, and they found out that as high as, there were several studies done on it, as high as 10-12% of the vegetarian products that they tested had animal DNA in it, and some of it had up to 2% human DNA in it. So the thing is the point of the matter is you don't know exactly. You can't read a label and tell what you're eating. You can try to stay away from things, and I think that that's good. I mean, you're definitely better off, but you're not going to stay away from it 100% no matter what you do.
So you better be praying over it, and you better pray.
Exactly. That's
God's word is true, which it is, that we can ingest poison and it won't harm us. We got to claim that promise because we are ingesting poison almost on a daily basis.
And that's the point that I was getting to is, you know, you can try and you can try, you're not going to, and that's why it's important. There's an aspect of faith that kicks in, and, you know, not saying we don't try. I'm saying that we try because at the same time as I want to be found trying to stay away from this stuff when, and not testing God on that aspect, but, you know, you've got to pray over your food. You've got to, you know, invoke that faith, that power that, you know, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen. And, you know, I look at this food situation and the way that everything's changed, everything from the corn to the, you know, what's happened in the cattle industry to the chicken industry to, you know, it's just everywhere. And, you know, it's faith. I believe that faith, that prayer and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over your food. And you know, a lot of people perk up and ask about it. You know, what do you mean, you know, when you pray over your food, you always say, you know, and send the poisons back to the poisoners or pull the poisons out of it. And I believe that that's a very important part of the prayer that we need to be praying over our food is for, you know, it to be freed of any afflictions or any curses or any spells that have been put upon it. And also, I think it's very important to ask for our Heavenly Father's blessing upon it. You know, that it can, because, you know, he can take a glass of water and you can pray over it, and through faith, I believe that he can grant your body everything that it needs in that glass of water. And our food is lacking so many things, everything from minerals to all different kinds of nutrients that we're ingesting today. And when we pray over that food, I believe that, you know, our Heavenly Father can put in there what our bodies need.
Yep, amen.
Amen.
In Matthew 24, this talks about the birth pangs, starting in verse 3. And I don't know where we'll stop, but we'll stop where it's appropriate. But anyways, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, now this is in red, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and I will mislead many, and will mislead many, and will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by the nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end shall come." Well, that's the verse 14 is the motto and logo of Bible Worldwide, as we try to push out nothing but the unadulterated Bible in 10 languages 24 hours a day.
Amen. Amen.
But you can see, too, that those that come and mislead many, I think there's a strong example of that with the Pope and in the Catholic Church. I saw the other day that 800,000 Catholics signed a petition asking the Pope to give his firm position on family values, basically regarding homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and abortion. So it could be that, you know, as we are in these last days, that some of these people are realizing that this is the last chance to come out of her, my people. But,
well, and that's what I've noticed. I looked into that a little bit, and basically they want to know a stance because they're making up their minds based on that, you know, if they're going to be part of the church or if they're leaving.
Right. Yeah, so that's encouraging. 800,000 people signed a petition. You know, they only said there's, what, 1.1 or 1.2, so that's a significant amount of people who are questioning whether they've been lied to and deceived. You know, we've never said, we don't have anything against the Catholic people other than they're deceived, but what we have a problem with is the administration who are leading them astray.
Yeah, the teachings of the Catholic Church, which are not biblical.
Matriarchal instead of patriarchal. They've, you know, the thing that just floors me that most people don't understand is that they've changed the Ten Commandments. They did away with the second commandment that thou shalt not worship a graven image, and they split the ninth into two about in the coveting. And
well, that's because they put graven.
Alone.
Yeah, because they have graven images and they worship graven images.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, mostly Mary, but. Other saints, and you know what's funny is if you talk to a Catholic sometimes, that the only reason they're Catholic is because they've always been, you know, generations have been Catholic.
Yep.
Hello. Oh, that generations have been Catholic. That's really the only reason they are. And then you say, next time you walk into your church, where's Jesus? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, where's Jesus? He's still on the cross. I got news for you. He got off. And they start to think. It gets the wheels turning. Just those little things sometimes can get these people starting to think. You know, the Bible's clear too. Anyone who adds to or subtracts from my word, let all of these curses in this book come upon them. What did they do? They subtracted from.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we lost Jason there or what. Hello?
Yep. So I still got you here, gentlemen. Might have. Might have.
I thought you lost me.
Nope. Got you there. So, yeah, and that is a good point, John. I think it's a good tool. I don't want to use the word angle, but it's a good way to share people out there with your Catholic friends. Ask them, where is Jesus? Where does your church have Jesus Christ? You know? And if it's still on the cross, as a reminder, to remind us of the sacrifice that he, you know, since the time of Christ, the empty cross has been the Christian reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. You know, at the time of the Romans, it was a curse. It was the lowliest, the worst way that they could come up with to kill and shame a person. And that's one of the reasons that they did crucify Christ on a cross. And what they meant for shame has turned into a sign, a symbol of hope, and a symbol of the price that was paid. But you're absolutely right. Christ came off, they took him off the cross, they put him in the tomb, and when they went 3 days later, the tomb was empty, much less the cross. Or how much more the cross, I should say, I guess. And that, you know, it is an empty cross today. It's an empty tomb today because he's risen. He's not on that cross anymore. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father.
Jason,
maybe that's Jason back. Jason, did we get you back?
Hey,
yep.
All right. Hey, just so you know, I didn't block your call. Okay.
I thought you maybe I said something offensive or something.
Oh no.
I thought you were offended by what we were saying about the Catholic Church, and you.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Hey, on a different note,
open the phone lines.
Yeah, we'll open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913, if you want to call this Saturday morning, October 31st, the last day of October. Got the November Bible reading plan out and about, so if you're wanting that, of course, the we're at the end, or about two-thirds of the way through the Gospel of Luke, if you're reading through that, and we hope you are. We've had many people call in and write in and say what an encouragement it's been to them, and a good reminder to, hey, be reading your Bible. You know, we draw near to God when we do that, and you know, that the Bible is one of the ways that God speaks to his people today. But if you don't read it, well, you might not get spoken to. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, being that today is the Halloween, too, one of Satan's high holy days, I encourage you to pray the October prayer, which was specifically written to combat evil, and also the new November Gideon Elite prayer is available on the website.
Amen. Amen. Hey, on a different note, had something hit kind of close to home here. Didn't know, I think I sent the link out, but up in the Bighorn, I think it was the Bighorn Mountains, yeah, the Bighorn Mountains, which are north and west of here, there was just a massive crack opened up in the earth. I mean, you look at it, and it just looks like it looks like what you see.
The earth split.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, just a hillside just opened up, and they say, oh well, you know, there was a wet spring lubricating across a cap rock, and then a small spring on either side caused the bottom to slide out. They estimated 15 to 20 million yards of earth movement. Okay, this wasn't a little sinkhole opening up, and if you Jason, I don't know if we can get that up on the newswire or not, but it was the article I saw had some links. It was some outfitters and guides that go through this area, and just, you know, they're through it all the time, and boy, when they came through it and saw this, they posted a lot of pictures of it, and it's impressive. I mean, it's not just a little dirt face that fell off. I mean, it opened up. It looks, it's not as big as the Grand Canyon, but that's what it reminded me of. It just opened up, and this was in a matter. I mean, this wasn't, you know, over the last 50 years. This was pretty much within a couple of weeks this happened. Anyway, I don't know if you saw it, but I had, it was pretty impressive, and it reminded me of what you said, John, about those birth pangs, those changes. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Bible tells us where you read right there in Matthew. Well, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, you were talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and MSG. The story I heard, I don't know whether it's true, but the story that I heard is that after the Second World War, they had discovered MSG in the rations. You know, they got a hold of the rations that the Japanese had, and they discovered that they tasted so incredibly much better than what the Americans had, you know, and they discovered MSG, and that he had gone to a trade fair in Chicago or someplace, and he had learned about that. He had learned about MSG, and he was the first one to adopt it, and that was his secret recipe, was the MSG. And
yep, that's the story that I heard as well.
And MSG actually is apparently as the MSG that we get, I guess, is... I've heard horror stories about how it's made. It's made out of, you know, you can imagine how industrial, bad out of industrial waste. But actually, I used to listen to, well, I still do listen to shortwave, but Japan used to have a broadcast on shortwave. And one morning, they were actually, they called umami, which is the fifth, and there's sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami, which is savory. And that was their discovery. And it's derived actually from seaweed. they eat a lot of seaweed, and somebody was experimenting. He derived it out of seaweed, and they actually claimed it as one of their top 100 discoveries of as a nation. But and I guess it's probably wholesome, and it's, you know, since it's derived from seaweed in a natural fashion. But the garbage, you know how they do, where they've manufactured it in a
synthetically,
pot,
yeah,
somehow, or, you know, in a lab somehow, stuff that we're getting. So, and yeah, about the chicken
there's been a lot of changes in it. If you go back, the original, what they called MSG at one time is not what it's really has become. They've changed the processing, and they've even changed what it's made of. They used to make it out of seaweed, and they also used to make it out of fish, fermented fish, and it was a completely different product than what they have today. I mean, now the several of the people that have done a lot of studies on it say that it's made predominantly out of pigs, and pig hooves and stuff like that. But basically, it's got some of the base, some of the same base structure to it, but it's been completely commercialized. I mean, the stuff that you ate back then, wouldn't kill you if you ate a spoonful of it in its pure state. The stuff that they have today will kill you if you overdose on it. There's been quite a few changes in it.
Yeah, it has a natural, organic, and actually probably even beneficial origin. But like I say, when you were talking about the chickens, I don't hardly ever eat chicken, but I did somehow or other about 15 years ago. I got a hold of some, and I thought, there's no bones in this chicken. And I thought, of course, I've eaten rabbit a few times. I'm sure you two have too. And you know, a rabbit has a very little bone. A rabbit has a tremendous amount of meat. And I thought they've crossed it. They've crossed a chicken with the rabbit or something. You know, when you see that, you see in, like in Holland, they're experimenting with fabricating meat tissue in the laboratory, and actually, when you come right down to it, when they actually perfect that, that will probably be a more more healthy alternative than these poor animals that they're mutilating and dosing up with all kinds of chemicals. So it's terrible that that sort of laboratory meat would actually be an improvement over what they modern, you know, meat processing. But I think that's going to be the reality of it.
God help us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good point.
I agree with you.
Remember grace and mercy.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments.
Oh, okay.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, got another line ringing here. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. This is Sister Stewart this morning. I just wanted to call in, and that was a good comment by the brother just spoke. I've been hearing about Kentucky Fried Chicken. In fact, I've gotten away from all of this GMO food. But on the comment of the person that called before the gentleman talked about the chicken, I do find that a lot of us as Christians have gotten away from doctrine. And, you know, the Bible tells us to move, not the old landmark. You can ask the average Christian what they believe, and they can't even explain to you justification, sanctification, none of these beautiful doctrines that just make us free. But the Bible does tell us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, not to try to make ourselves put forth as if we know everything. But unless we study, we cannot put the mysteries of God's Word together in the right perspective. And I thank you for letting me make this comment. Listen to you every Saturday, and we'll be doing so more often. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Where are you calling from this morning?
Thank you.
Tampa, Florida.
Where at again?
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida. Well, you enjoy that sunshine down there, ma'am. Have a great day.
Oh, yes. It's coming out. Oh, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And we pray for the Saints in Texas. They've been hit hard this year.
They have. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Get calls from all over. 307-745-5913.
You know, something I just thought occurred to me. there's several people on the ministry that I know that MSG just affects them, you know, to the point where you have to find a bathroom quickly. And I don't know if you've noticed too, but there's some restaurants that you go to that's exactly the case. And that could be just God being merciful to us to get that poison out of our system as fast as possible.
You're right. You're right. That's
what I'm talking about, Jason?
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think that's a very valid point. I mean, there's places that, you know, I've eaten in the past that I just can't eat at anymore. I've always thought that it's MSG, and then I've thought later on, and my thought has changed about it. It's like, you know what? Maybe it's God don't want me eating there because I don't know what I'm eating when I'm eating there.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I mean. It's a warning that this isn't where you're to be eating, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once I eat at some place like that, you know, once you get sick from it, it's like I don't go back. I don't take my chances there. You hardly can't make yourself do it sometimes.
Yeah, we were down in Denver yesterday and ended up going to Casa Bonita, you know. I think you've been
there
with us. Yeah, no kidding. Have you been there lately? Oh my God.
Oh. I would rather
eat the cardboard box from a pizza than eat at that place. But it's sad because, you know, we started thinking.
The interesting thing about it is that used to be a house of quality. That was back in. I was going there when I was. I don't know. I can't remember. I think I went there for my 8th birthday or something like that. And it was a quality. It was a nice place back then.
Yeah, but that's what we're reflecting on. It was 19 years ago that I was there, and I was there with Dad and Monty. And, you know, it was a special treat to go there and to watch these cliff divers. But I tell you what, it's nothing but the whole thing was decorated in, you know, Halloween. And then now they got arcades and they got shops, you know, that sell all this junk. And it's nowhere near what it was. And the food was literally, I'm not kidding, Taco Bell would have been better than this place. And it's just sad. And it's not cheap either.
No, they.
But I had the same effects as the MSG does to our people there. So,
oh,
if you're trying to follow God's food laws, I suggest you cross that place off the list. I know I do. There ain't no way I'm ever eating there again.
Yep.
That's just for free. But I don't know.
Yeah,
if you guys
it was.
Go ahead.
Oh, when we went there, you know, 30 some years ago or 20 some years ago, it was still pretty good. But I remember my dad talking. Cause that place had been around for it was one of the earliest one of the early restaurants in Denver. It'd been around for I don't know how long, forever. I know my dad used to go there when he was in Bible college, and you know, he was telling me about it. He's like, oh, you think it's good now? He's like, you should have been here, you know, 30 years ago. It was, he said that the place was just fantastic even, you know, before that.
Wow. Well,
see what they did over in Iceland? I thought that was pretty interesting. It said, the headline was, first they jailed the bankers, now every Icelander is to get paid in the bank sale. And basically, they had the financial crisis of 2008 took a really big toll on Iceland. It was similar to what happened in 2008 over here. In a lot of ways, it was a lot worse. In a lot of ways, it wasn't so bad. They went after every one of the bankers. Instead of doing a bailout like they did over here, they went after the bankers. And now the bankers are in jail. They ended up selling that, what was the name of that bank? I can't remember. Icelandic Banki, some weird name like that. But basically it was one of the top three largest banks in the country of Iceland. They sold the bank. And they, every Icelander that was that was a resident of the country is getting a dividend off of the bank sale. Basically, they took how many people there was, they divided it up, and they're sending a check to everybody. I thought that was kind of interesting, and a lot different than the way they did things over here, that's for sure.
Yeah, over here they did it the other way. They sent everybody a bill.
Yeah, they sent them a bill for $700 and say you're going to be paying on this $30,000 over the next 50 years.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you guys saw lately, but the Abomination administration just nominated a new domestic terrorism czar, and basically it gives legal power to combat the violent attacks of lone wolves, such as, you know, people who are against or who are motivated by racial or religious hatred and anti-government views, or communicate their hatred over the internet and their social media. So, I mean, it's in today's day and age of this social media stuff, this I don't even do none of that Facebook or Instagram or whatever tweet, but let it be a warning to people out there that take your thoughts captive and just be cautious. But basically, they're—I don't know—we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. They're in Chicago. They proved that they basically abducted 2,000 people, took them to these hidden fusion centers, they call it, where you have no habeas corpus rights, and they can keep you without letting your family know or giving you an opportunity to call an attorney or anything. And I guess they've identified 78 of these fusion centers nationwide. Something I think we've missed is in 2009 the Department of Homeland Security launched Operation Vigilant Eagle, which calls for surveillance of military veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, characterizing them as extremists and potentially domestic terrorist threats because they may be disgruntled, delusioned, or suffering from psychological effects of the war.
Because they've seen firsthand what our country does, you know, overseas. And then they don't, you know, but that's nothing new. You know, after World War One, all the promises were made to the returning veterans, and those promises weren't kept. And then when they marched on Washington, they just gassed them and shot them and ran them out of town. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, well, it's just like the Patriot Act, you know, was disguised as good for the people, but basically just allowed a huge advance in surveillance,
right,
of the people. And then the National Defense Authorization Act, which was basically, that's what gives them the legal authority for the military to come and take you out of your home, lock you up with no access to friends or family or courts.
And does anyone remember who was in the White House when the Patriot Act was passed? And who was in control of Congress when the Patriot Act was passed?
George W. Bush.
Bush and the Republicans. And,
yep.
And everybody today seems like they want to blame all that on the Democrats. But no, and you know, think, people. Think. There's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them. And if you believe Trump and all the stuff that he says, well, then you just go on believing that and see what happens. But if you think there's a dime's worth of difference between Bush, between the Bill Clinton then, between Bush Jr. or Sr., if another Bush goes in now, there's not a dime's worth of difference. There's not. You think it's going to be so much worse if the Hillary gets in versus the Trump or Ben Carson? You think it's really going to make a dime's worth of difference? This Babylonian captivity and the Babylon will continue on until...
Every time we've got a new president, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, every one of them has been a little bit worse than the last one.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that snowball effect. Everyone's, you know... And it's not I believe that it's not just who's in the president's office. You know, I mean, sin has gotten worse and worse and worse, and that's what it's cause and effect.
Yes.
You know, people can keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on making excuses for sin, but they think that if they get a better president, it's going to make everything better.
Yeah, you forget me, I'll forget your children. Our God's not mocked, that's
no.
for sure.
Oh. No, not at all. Not at all.
One of the biggest tragedies is what's going on in Europe, you know. I mean, those are our people there in Austria and Germany. And I read a report this week that rape was up 500% in Austria and Germany. And it's these millions of Muslim immigrants. And, you know, stop and ask yourself one question. Most of these Muslim immigrants are age 18 to 25, and most of them are male.
Yes. Up to two-thirds.
That's by design?
Up to two-thirds of them are, John. They are.
Right.
I'm hoping to bring
another report that basically still in Germany you can get firearms, pretty much only a long rifle or a shotgun, but right now there is none available, and the ones that are
buying... There's none. I mean, they can't get anything in any of the gun shops. Austria, Sweden, every one of those European countries that has allowed firearms, and some of them they do allow handguns, everything is sold out. They're sold out of pepper spray. I mean, if people are going in and if they can't buy a firearm, they're buying pepper spray, and if they can't buy pepper spray, they're buying a knife.
Yes.
Yep. But it's the women, the European women that are doing it. I read another thing just this morning as we were doing some prep. I don't know if you saw that, but these immigrants that they're letting in, you know, hundreds of thousands, there's thousands that are disappearing. They're just, into the landscape.
So, yeah, it makes the invasion.
What our president has planned for here, too.
That's right. That's right. It makes the invasion that we've experienced so far, the millions that have come across our southern border over the last generation or so, it's just a drop in the bucket, an absolute drop in the bucket. And you can look at places and see news reports out of places like Dearborn, Michigan, and other places where these Muslims have come in, these ungodly antichrist, Jesus Christ-denying Muslims have come in and formed communities because our government pays for their Section 8 housing. And you can, Google that. Google Dearborn, Michigan Muslim community and see. And that is what is planned for here. It absolutely is. You know, when you go against God, he can bring them in on you from every angle. And, you know, Joel says...
The thing is, it's the churches. The churches are facilitating all this.
It is.
They're whoring themselves for federal money to relocate these people. And, you know, we had a place that we were trying to lease up there in Laramie and put it on Craigslist, and within half hour you get 7 to 9 calls. Every one of them is about Section 8 housing, and all they're giving $1,500 a month to these illegal aliens to put them in housing. And got news for you, they're all over.
Yes.
And this is Wyoming there, folks.
Yes.
So you think if you live in a city or you're close to a metropolitan, you start watching, you'll start seeing these Somalian refugees. And I tell you what, if there was ever a time not to give up your gun, it's now. No matter what, because there's a lot worse things than death.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. Got some graphs we'll be bringing out in a review of the news that show, you know, where the people that are invading Europe, where they come from, and their age and their gender. And you're absolutely right, John. Up to two-thirds of them are males, 18 and over. And, you know, they're not coming there to learn the language, to get a job, to apply for asylum, to become a productive member of society. They are not doing that. They are coming there to rape, to steal, kill, and destroy, to glean all they can, and And once they do it there, they're planning on doing it here. It is an absolute invasion. You know, we have a westward trek map. If you're not familiar with the immigration, with the founding of the European nations, with who founded the European nations that have stood as Christian nations since, well, since the time of Christ until the last generation or two. If you're not familiar with that, we have a map called the Westward Trek Map, and it shows where the Israelites of old, the Hebrew people, the covenant people of old, when they were, because of their sin, they were taken from their land. They were pushed off into captivity, into the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity and into what they called exile. And they were pushed, but they didn't go out of existence. They didn't just fade from history, these people that God had dealt with, these people that God had called his very own. No, his covenant was true with them. He said, I will make you as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And he has done that. And he did that. And he pushed them through and caused them to travel through the Caucasus Mountains and then to flood into Europe and to form the European, the Celtic, the kindred, Germanic nations. And it's proof that they were the children of the new covenant, because that new covenant, he says, I will write my laws, statutes, and judgments on your heart. And that's just what he did. And they formed those nations. But you can see in that westward trek map how they came in, from the west, and from the east and settled to the west, and became Western man. Well, you look at this invasion that's going on now, and they're not following those routes. This invasion is from the south. This invasion is from the Middle Eastern countries and the Northern African countries. And you can look at it and just see that it is the exact opposite. The world calls it an immigration, but it is an invasion, plain and simple.
Yeah. You know, Dad used to always say that the enemies of God play chess and we play checkers, you know, and they understand the Bible better than we do. And I absolutely agree with that. But if you look at what's gone on in the Middle East and in Libya, and what we have done through this country mostly is cause that unrest, cause that chaos for one reason. The end result is these millions of refugees, Muslim refugees, that they're infiltrating into Europe for the most part, but more and more. I mean, there's things we don't even understand, that they've been doing this for 20 years in small pockets, but now you're talking, they've said that they'd like to have over a million Somalian refugees brought into this country. And every one of them, would be on welfare. I mean, the first thing they do when they get here, here's your food stamps, here's your EBT card, here's your housing allowance. I mean, they're running out of rabbits, you know. Even the Federal Reserve is admitting that, hey, we don't really even know what we can do anymore. You know, this house of cards is coming down.
Right. Hey, got a report here from regarding rejecting Islam, and we just got a couple minutes here, but it says what the mainstream media will not tell you. Japan refuses Muslims permanent residence. Even Cuba rejected plans for its first Muslim mosque. Even Cuba. Norway deported over 2,000 Muslims as a way of fighting crime. Since that happened, crime has dropped by a reported 72% in Norway.
Maybe what it takes.
Okay. The Czech Republic refuses Islam in their country, regarding it as evil. In Ireland, Muslims, this is, you'll like this. Gotta love the Irish. Muslims in Northern Ireland announced plans to leave to avoid anti-Islamic violence by Irish locals. The announcement comes after an attack on groups of Muslims in the city of Belfast. Hospital staff was reluctant to treat the hospitalized and injured Muslims. Most were given the Band-Aid treatment and sent home with the staff muttering, "Good riddance." And
yeah, here, though, the stinking government would turn on you.
Yeah.
But greater is he that is for us.
Amen. Amen. And so it's not that all of Europe is welcoming them with open arms, but the sin is so prevalent, not only in Europe, but hey, it's here as well. And you know, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you know, the European nations were blessed for centuries because of that. And
where
this
the Spirit
nation
of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Right. And this nation was blessed when our God was the Lord. But that is changing. It's changing. And with that change, the blessings change. They sure do. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Sure appreciate everybody getting up and joining us this morning. We appreciate you, the remnant out there, joining us. We do want to invite you to church. You can come to church with us tomorrow, and we hope that you do. If you're in the area, stop by. Just give us a call and let us know you're coming down to the LaPorte Church of Christ. But no matter where you are, you can join us if you go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can click on the live video stream, again, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and we'll have a scriptural insight and study or a review of the news. Hadn't decided which one is which yet, but we'll have one of those, and then you'll see John there, the Ramrod, and get a welcome from him, and we'll have a communion service, and that is a very important thing to do, to participate in that and to take that communion, once a week. It is we can't express to you how important that is. The Bible tells us to do it. It tells us to remember Him, to judge ourselves, to remember what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did for us. And we'll have some Holy Spirit, have a new song or two tomorrow, so we do encourage you to tune in for that. We'll have some Holy Spirit-inspired, some music, some praise and worship music. And then, of course, a timeless truth pulpit sermon from our pastor, Pastor Peter J. Peter. So we do invite you to come there again. That's 10 a.m. Mountain Time at scripturesforamerica.org. Guys, thanks for joining us. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Though in the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.
soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.